big energy with no carbon dioxide? If I said to you that there is a source of energy that is abundant in the earth, it cannot be made into a weapon, it cannot melt down in a reactor, and it emits no greenhouse gases, it would sound as though we had a nearly perfect energy source. Well, what I'll describe here is not perfect, but it may be another step in our journey to the ultimate source of energy. During the super-secret Manhattan Project of the mid-20th century, the race was on in the United States to find the mineral that could run the nation's nuclear reactors and produce byproducts that could be made into weapons in the Cold War era. The wartime thinking opted for uranium with its byproduct of plutonium as the mineral of choice. And since that time, uranium has continued as the fuel source for most of the world's 430 or so nuclear reactors. While most people are generally aware that this is the case, they're also surprised to learn that another mineral was discovered that had many of the qualities of uranium as a fuel source, but without the harmful byproducts. This element is called thorium. Its number is 90 on the periodic table of elements. And if we're really serious about creating large amounts of electricity and doing so from an energy source that creates zero greenhouse gases, until we have the free energy technologies, thorium should be at the top of our list. And here's why. Thorium works on principles that are a little different from the uranium that we're all familiar with, and those differences make it a powerfully attractive alternative. In essence, the purpose of conventional power generators is to create the heat that drives the turbines to produce electricity. There are many ways that the heat can be created. The familiar technologies of the past include the burning of coal, oil, and natural gas. Nuclear reactors generate heat as well and do so through a controlled chain reaction. The process generates so much heat, in fact, that separate cooling systems have to be built and maintained to help the reactor's temperatures stay within safe limits. So when a reactor melts down or it gets so hot that the shielding is destroyed, it's often because the cooling systems have failed, such as we saw with the 2011 Fukushima power station disaster in Japan. I'm describing these principles here because while thorium is used in a form of reactor, it works on the principle that makes it impossible to melt down. The liquid that the fuel is made of, a thorium and fluoride salt solution, is the same liquid that cools the system itself. One of the interesting properties of a thorium generator is that there's a direct relationship between its ability to generate heat and its temperature, and that difference is probably not what you would expect. In the case of thorium salts, the warmer they become, the less ability they have to generate the heat. This means that if they were to reach a dangerous temperature, by the time they did so, the reactivity would already be in a very low state. Safety plugs made of the same hardened salts that make the fuel itself would melt away, allowing the slurry to drain away into another container. So in other words, the stuff that's producing the reaction while cooling the system would empty into a separate vessel, thereby preventing any further reaction from continuing. From local economics to global policies, there are a number of reasons that the mainstream energy industry and the mainstream press may have been reluctant to embrace thorium as an energy source in the past. In light of its implications for climate change, low cost, and energy security, however, those reasons may now be less of a factor. Thorium energy is beyond theory at the present time, and the number of thorium generators have already been built and are already being used successfully for research and commercial applications in different countries, including India, Germany, China, and the United States. In the United States, there have been two thorium generators, the Indian Point facility, which was operational between 1962 and 1980, and the Elk River facility, which was operational between 1963 and 1968. So while we need more research to hone thorium technology to meet the large-scale needs of the world, it holds the promise of a clean, abundant, and relatively safe alternative to hold us over while we engage in our search for the ultimate source of free energy. I believe that our civilization will, ultimately, perfect the technology to tap the potential of empty space and torsion fields to fill our energy needs. The evidence suggests that after oil, we'll probably pass through two more phases of energy production on our way to the best future source. The first of these phases is the era of natural gas that weans the world from oil and coal and reduces the greenhouse emissions from both. The second phase is the combination of renewable resources and thorium reactors that provide abundant energy with no harmful greenhouse emissions at all. There are many possibilities that could become global turning points in our time of extremes, including revamping national currencies and meeting new greenhouse emission standards to minimize the effects of climate change. While these and other turning points are certainly viable, the development of new energy sources not only addresses the needs of the world economy and climate standards, it also is a direct step toward raising the standard of living for everyone, everywhere. The added benefit of goodwill that could come from such an effort, combined with the elimination of the conflict that has come with exploiting finite energy sources in the past, makes a turning point of new energy a very attractive possibility.